The end is near. Time is short. Do we believe that? Do we really believe the end is near, or do we just say it? If we believe the end is near, then it's time we start living like we believe it. God's been working on me recently in three specific areas that I can identify. I'll talk about my commitment level, Jesus' two specific commandments to us, and charity. Again, these are things that I've done a lot of studying and a lot of praying over recently, and I will speak to you on these things today. You know, it's easy to grow complacent. It's easy to stop watching for the Master's return. We've all heard the end is near so much that we don't even believe it anymore, not in our hearts. If we did, well, we'd live and act very differently. Jesus warned us to be watching for His coming. He warned us of the very real danger of complacency. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible today, the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 36 through 49. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Praise God. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? It is so very easy to grow complacent, to stray. Jesus requires commitment. He doesn't want 50% or 95% of your commitment. He wants it all. He requires it all. The following parable illustrates an example of this. This will be from the book of Luke, chapter 18. I'll be reading verses 18 through 30. I'll take me a drink while you look that up. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Although the young ruler's problem seemed to be his love of money, these verses could apply to anything we don't want to give up to God. There is a commitment level required that the young ruler simply couldn't handle. Any commitment level less than 100% is simply not going to cut it. We have many excuses why we can't commit 100%. And regrettably, one of the biggest reasons is that we trust in ourselves. And we trust in our riches more than we trust God. We're so wise in the ways of the world, but we're so foolish in the ways of the Word. We lay up treasures upon earth. But this is foolishness. Jesus warns us against this. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you would turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus speaks on this again. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. It's hard not to trust in riches sometimes, isn't it? There's lots of reasons we do. We want better toys. We want security. Security. We're all scared of the world in some way. We're scared of being poor, of being homeless, being ashamed, of being sick with no money to buy medicines or good medical care. These are scary things. The mistake we make is thinking we can protect ourselves against these things better than God can. We just can't quite trust God enough to protect us. We spend a lot more time making money and stashing it away than we do seeking righteousness. We should take solace and comfort in God's Word. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 22. That was Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. These are some of my favorite verses. Oh, I wish that I could live them all the time. Oh, let me rephrase that. Oh, I wish I would live them. Yet we can. We need to believe God. We need to pray to God to give us greater faith to trust in Him. Oh, God knows that we have need of these physical things. We're not to worry about them. We are assured that we will be taken care of by the Word. Do we believe it? Worrying about these things just gets in the way of our commitment to God. We've got to start worrying less about our physical needs and more about doing the Lord's work. Worrying about our own needs stops us from getting out and doing God's will. We're good at worrying about our own needs. We sure don't seem to worry about our neighbor's needs anywhere near as much as we worry about our own, but perhaps we should. Let's all turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. We turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." Well, it sounds like these two commandments are pretty important. Jesus certainly said they were the great commandments. Remember, all the law and prophets are derived from them. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, we find a lawyer asking Jesus a similar question in Jesus' response. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." It's interesting that the man received no help from a priest or a Levite. The Levite actually came over and looked at him and then passed on. However, the Samaritan, a man from a nation the Jews most despised and hated at the time, stopped and helped. Though the injured man was a Jew, he was a man in misery. The Samaritan had his heart open towards one of another people, whereas it seems the priest and Levite had their hearts hardened. Look at what all the Samaritan actually did for his neighbor. He went to him. He had compassion for his plight. He bound up his wounds using his own medicine. He let the injured man ride on the Samaritan's own beast, and he took care of him overnight in an inn. He then paid for the man's keep and even offered to pay extra if the tab ran over. Think about that. It is the duty of every one of us in our places and according to our abilities to help and relieve all that are in distress and need, both spiritually and physically. Sometimes it seems we are less than eager to get out and help our fellow man. Perhaps we're afraid we don't have enough money or time for ourselves, because we sure don't want to get involved in anything helping others. Some say we can't find anyone truly in need, but that's not true. We're just not looking. Sometimes we just don't really want to get involved. Perhaps it's pride. Jesus sets a great example of servitude and humility in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus himself told us quite clearly to serve others. For example, in Luke chapter 22, verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat. But I am among you as he that serveth. Perhaps we just don't want to get out and mingle with the truly poor and needy. We will fellowship with each other, but don't want to go out in the world and sit with the non-Christians, at least and act like a Christian among them. Why is this? Why won't we follow Jesus' example? Perhaps because we recognize so much of ourselves in others. Perhaps because we can't stay separated because we are tempted to join the world. But Jesus went to the sinners because he loved them. Thank God for that love. We need to find that kind of love in our own hearts. Luke chapter 5, verse 29, gives an example of Jesus doing this very thing. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus warns us against just helping those who can repay or help us back in return. Instead, he directs us to specifically help the needy. But it seems we always want credit for our action. We are warned against this. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. If we ignore the hungry, if we don't clothe the stranger, if we don't give drink to the thirsty, then folks, we run a very real risk of missing Jesus. If you don't believe me, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46 warns us of this very thing and of the consequences. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit up on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now how much clearer than that? Oh, what a sorrowful thing it would be to be in the group that will be cast into everlasting punishment. And what a sorrowful thing it is for us to hide in our houses and our workplaces and not get out and do any work for the Lord. Everyone who meets you should be able to know you are a Christian. You should be a shining example by your deeds and actions. If you're hiding the fact that you are a Christian, then you might need to examine whether you really are one. Do good works so the Father may be glorified. Jesus addresses this directly in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you hiding your light under a basket? Go out into the masses and let your light shine. It isn't just food or drink or money the needy people need. No, one of the biggest needs is to hear the gospel personally from a person who has that light within. Recall what Jesus read when he visited Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." These things Jesus did and tasked us to do also. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my tongue shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." We all have a responsibility to proclaim the good news to the world, even if the world doesn't want to hear it anymore. We may want to try and excuse ourselves, but the word's still there. I believe if it's God's words and we understand it, then we are obliged to obey it and should desire to obey it. Think about this. Are you ashamed of Jesus and his words? Pray that you are not. Will the world mock us and persecute us and even laugh at us? Absolutely. I face this from my own relatives. And you know what? It's much better to be persecuted here by the world than ever to be persecuted by God. Are we so weak, so lacking in faith, so fearful that we hide ourselves? Yes, we are weak, but God is not. And folks, God is with us. It's time to stop protecting and hiding ourselves from the world. And let's stop protecting our riches. What good are they? That trust in and that love of riches will drag us down to the pits of hell if we don't let go of it. Let's follow Jesus' example. Jesus gives us some pretty blunt words in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let us not be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Let the light of Jesus shine in your life that others may see it. Spread the gospel through your words and deeds. And whatever you do, do it in a charitable manner. If we do all these things and do not have charity in our hearts, we are wasting our time. Sometimes we forget the charity part of it. Sometimes we do a good message of getting the thou shalts and thou shalt nots out, but we don't do so well conveying the love which God feels for each of us and that we must feel for each other. Charity, which also can be translated as love, is spoken of as the greatest of the three Christian graces. How important is charity? Let's see what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has to say about charity. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Examine yourselves. If you truly love your brother, and if you believe the end is near, why aren't you warning those you love? I guarantee that if we saw our child standing in the middle of the road with his or her eyes shut, and we saw a big truck coming towards him or her, we would warn them. We would get them out of harm's way. Why won't we warn people that Jesus is coming and let them know it's time to repent and draw to Him? Do we believe in that truck more than we believe that Jesus is coming? Are we just ashamed? Or do we simply not love them? Is that why we don't warn them? Examine yourselves. Be a light on a hill. But don't let that light be darkness. Live it. Breathe it. And by it, I mean the Word of God. The end is near, brothers and sisters. We truly need to start acting like it. I would close by saying that I would pray that we would all do our utmost to obey these two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we disobey this, we do so at our own peril. May God bless you, and may He strengthen us all.